Over the last 30 years, Deborah Voigt has risen to the top of the opera world. She's sung in opera houses all around the world, and while her specialty has been the iconic roles of German opera, from Strauss's Ariadne and Salome to Wagner's Sieglinde and Isolde, she's also portrayed the Italian Tosca, Aida, Amelia, Leonora. She's recently joined the voice faculty at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, and it is in that educational capacity that she is here in the Rogue Valley for a day of masterclasses today presented by Brava Opera Theater and the James M. Collier Young Artist Program. At 7:30 tonight, Ms. Voigt will lead a public masterclass concert at the SOU Music Recital Hall, in which the singers will demonstrate techniques taught by Voigt. Information and tickets to that performance at bravaopera.com. And she joins me now here in the JPR studios. Good morning, Deborah Voigt.
Good morning. It's nice to be with you.
It's lovely to have you here. I am used to seeing you 37 feet tall on a movie screen as host of the Met in HD. You're not as tall as I thought.
I probably look very petite compared to that.
There's a tremendous milestone here that you are celebrating as of about a week ago, a couple of weeks back. 25 years ago, you made your Met debut.
I cannot believe it.
Does it seem like yesterday or an eternity ago?
A little of both, actually.
Yeah,
yeah, when I look back, just hearing you read my introduction, oh my gosh, I have sung all those roles. That's true. And many of them at the Met. But it does feel as though it was not that long ago that I made my debut. I remember it very clearly. It was a very exciting evening. It was Amelia and Balo in Maschera, and interestingly enough, the contract for that particular engagement was two parts. It was for Amelia, but it was also to cover, or as we call it, cover in the opera world, understudy, the Valkyrie sister Ortlinda. And I was just praying to God that whoever was going to be singing Ortlinda didn't get sick, because I didn't want my debut to be Ortlinda rather than Amelia. So it all worked out.
The Met season is already underway this year. The broadcast season begins here on JPR December 3rd. And the Met HD season is also underway. You've sung in, if I recall correctly, six of them since their inception about a decade ago, including that incredible production of Wagner's Ring Cycle with the machine.
The machine,
right?
Yes.
The crazy machine, the $40 million rotisserie.
You said that, not me.
How has the HD component that the Met has jumped into changed opera for you as a performer?
Well, there's no question but that my recognition and all of the singers who participate in these productions, the publicity aspect of it is just phenomenal. I went to do a recital in Mexico City and had never been there before and walked on stage, and the applause was just incredible. And it occurred to me that the HDs are reaching so many people and in such vast areas of the world that all of us have not yet had the opportunity to perform in, and yet we're recognizable immediately because of the Met HD.
And they're basically fulfilling the role that Peter Gelb really wanted them to, which is that they're reaching listeners who were not opera fans.
That's true. It's a completely different experience, obviously. Opera was written to be performed in an opera house and seen with a certain amount of distance. But then there's also something to be said for being able to see we singers up close and what's really going on in our faces, which you can't see from a 30 or a 3,000 seat theater.
Yeah.
It's a much more intimate experience.
As I was looking through the roster of operas that will be on this season, there is a notable name missing. Yours. You're not singing with the Met this year.
I am not. No. I think that I'm at the point in my career where I've sung pretty much all the repertoire that I would want to sing. The only role that I didn't get to is Elektra. And she fell through, for reasons that had nothing to do with me. So the problem has been, and Mr. Gelb and I have had conversations about this, what do I want to sing? Mm-hmm. What works for them? And finding that particular niche is difficult. And as you mentioned, now I have a full-time faculty position. And so running away from the school for 6 weeks at a time may not go down very mm-hmm. well. So I'm really pleased that I am able to continue to perform and do a lot of recitals and concert work. And the occasional opera will be coming up in the future, but nothing I can talk about, unfortunately.
Well, one opera that did come up recently is Roscoe. Mm. This was an opera written for you.
Well, it was written with me in mind. Evan Mack, when he was doing some research about Roscoe, determined that he apparently had been a Wagner fan. And so Evan began to listen to me singing Isolde and had me in mind while he was writing the piece. I didn't know that. And it wasn't until I ran into him, I think at a Metropolitan Opera Guild luncheon, and we had a conversation, and he said, well, would you be interested in looking at the piece? He said, I wrote it with your voice in mind. I said, sure. So I liked it, and we did the concert a few weeks ago, I guess now, in Albany, and it was really very successful. It's a really interesting piece, really nice music and very accessible music. It has a little bit of jazz and swing to it, as well as a few Wagnerian quotes. So I think it has appeal.
You have done hundreds now of staged opera performances and also more of a recital setting type of performance of both opera repertoire and other things. What do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy that fully theatrical onstage opera production, or do you like having the orchestra right there behind you as opposed to down in a pit?
Well, I enjoy pretty much all of it. There's such unique experiences. Of course, being an opera singer, I love the costume and the grandness of opera and all of that, and getting to act in such a tremendous house is fantastic. But there's something to be said for being on a stage with just a piano and being able to be more myself. I'm not the sort of woman who cries and dies and prays every day of my life, obviously, not the dying part. But so to have an opportunity to show my personality a little bit is exciting.
Well, let's talk about why you are here in the Rogue Valley. It's a series of master classes presented by Brava Opera Theater and the James M. Collier Young Artist Program. What goes on during master classes?
Well, the young singer gets up and they sing some aria or art song or something, and I usually let them get all the way through it just to get their nerves out, because they are generally pretty nervous. And then we work a little bit, whether that be on their interpretation of a particular role. Being a voice teacher, I tend to go in for the technique that they are using and try to help them. It's difficult because I will generally only have at the most 20 minutes with each student, so to make an impression in that short a period of time is sometimes challenging. But they're enjoyable.
What kinds of things do you listen for in a singer?
Well, I, within the first few minutes, will know whether I'm hearing a voice that has something particularly unique or not. And I'm always listening for an identifiable voice. As opera singers, we all tend to sound a little bit alike just by the nature of being operatic. But what makes the difference is a very unique sound, one that you can identify. If you hear a recording of Luciano Pavarotti, you know it's Luciano Pavarotti.
Right.
And so I look for that. I look for someone who is interpreting the music well, that isn't so frightened that they're not able to communicate the way that they would like to, and I try to help them with that.
Major opera houses around the world roll out new stars just about every year. Mm-hmm. Is there a short list of names of people that have made it to that level that you think are the next superstars?
Well, I think there are a few. Angela Mead comes to mind. But they're hard to find, especially a voice that could fill a house the size of the Metropolitan Opera.
Right.
That's a particular rarity.
What advice would you have for these students that you work with, all of whom are well along their trajectory already, but even younger folks that are thinking, all right, doctor, astronaut, opera singer, what would you say to them?
Well, it would depend on what I really thought of their talent. If I believed in them, I would say go for it. But the opportunities for opera singers, especially in the United States, are much more limited than they were when I was beginning my career. So I try to encourage my students to understand that they may have to create their own performance opportunities for a period of time and learn how to do that, how to program a recital, how to find a venue, how to raise funds for it, that sort of thing, because it is a business and not everyone is going to make it to the Metropolitan Opera. So I try to get them to be realistic and still have a lot of drive and determination.
And certainly try to connect with a regional opera house like Brava Opera Theater.
Exactly.
What do you get out of teaching now that you've been doing it for a while that you don't get out of performing? What part of you does that touch?
Well, it touches me because I realize that I have such a tremendous history of things that I can teach these students. And when I first began doing master classes, they terrified me, absolutely terrified me. And I was speaking with my former teacher, a woman named Jane Paul, and I said, I'm so frightened of these classes. She said, why? I said, I'm afraid I won't have anything to say or I won't be able to help them. And she said, you just have to remember something. You always know more than they do. And that's really kind of true. With 30 years of experience, I don't think there's anything that one of my students, my private students, or anyone in a master class is going to throw my way that I haven't had to deal with myself in one way or another.
There's no substitute for experience.
Exactly.
Right? About a year ago, you put out a heck of a book, a memoir, Call Me Debbie, True Confessions of a Down-to-Earth Diva. It is fairly candid.
It's very candid.
Why did you choose to be so open about your life and some of the struggles that you have had?
Well, I didn't want to write the sort of traditional opera book. If someone wants to know what I thought about a character that I was singing at a particular time, they can find that. There was an interview done. There are photos of the costumes. There are cast lists. And I think because of the nature of opera and having so much distance between myself and the audience, I've always felt this lack of communication as to who I really am. Mm. And so I started writing the book, and I realized that if I was going to talk about my life and some of the events that have happened, I couldn't leave out parts that were maybe not as wonderful as others. And I wanted to write an honest story. And people have such preconceived ideas about opera and about opera singers that I wanted to talk about the things that have happened in my life and my personal life that connects us. That, we all have the same struggles and the same issues. People tend to think of opera singers, we float down from a cloud on the day of a performance and don't speak the rest of the time. And I just thought, I'm just going to tell my story. And as I was writing it, I kept saying, I really shouldn't talk about that. I shouldn't talk about that. And then I thought, I'm just going to get it all out and then go back and determine what I will leave out. And I didn't leave much out.
What has sharing those stories done for you?
I think it's been a little cathartic to be honest about some of these things. And also, it's very touching to me when someone comes to me and says, I read your book and I relate so much to what you said and it helped me. And I cried, I laughed. That's rewarding to me to have the opportunity to share those things and have it touch other people.
So in addition to teaching in San Francisco, you can't talk about some contractual things that you have booked for the future, but what can you talk about that is in your immediate or long-range plans?
Well, immediately is a recital at the Royal Conservatory of Music in Toronto. That's next week. And more master classes, more recitals, some concert work. I'm going to be doing a tour with Fabio Luisi in Copenhagen and in California of the Wesendonck Lieder. So, it's a fairly busy schedule. Much more so than I would like it to be sometimes, and I have only myself to blame for that.
And we won't hear you this year at the Met, but we will see you, right? You're hosting at least
yes.
a few of the HD series
yes.
this year?
Yes, I hosted the opening production, which was Tristan and Isolde. I'll be doing L'Amour de Loin, and then Rosenkavalier.
Great. Yeah. The book is called Call Me Debbie, True Confessions of a Down-to-Earth Diva. Deborah Voigt is here today for a full day of master classes presented by Brava Opera Theater and the James M. Collier Young Artist Program. The day culminates at 7:30 tonight. Ms. Voigt will lead a public master class concert at the SOU Music Recital Hall in Ashland, in which the singers participating in the master classes throughout the day will demonstrate techniques taught by Ms. Voigt. Information and tickets for that show available at bravaopera.com. Deborah Voigt, thank you so much for coming by.
You're
it's a pleasure
welcome.
To meet you.
You as well.